people need to be able to think, speak, and act without self-restraint. As an academic scientist, I have had the privilege of working with prescient giants in the field, such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Zev Zelenko, Dr. Joseph Ladapo, and Dr. Harvey Weish. This is America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome to my Liberty Hour. I am Dr. Paul Alexander.
Welcome to the Dr. Paul Alexander Liberty Hour, brought to you by America Out Loud Talk Radio, Malcolm and his crew. Thanks again, Malcolm, and I hope you guys could support Malcolm financially and America Out Loud. You know, Malcolm provides us the opportunity. Most of us have been canceled by the work, insane legacy media. So Malcolm is the person that has given us a platform, me, McCullough, Reish, etc. Look, COVID is done. The virus and the fake pandemic, because it never was a pandemic. In fact, I argue it was nothing. Because if you look at the data, I mean, I'm getting straight, I'm diving into feet first. But when you look at the data and you plot across 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23, you can see no excess mortality. And it's the excess mortality and all-cause mortality data that we need to keep focused on. And if we look at the zero line, and we look at the number of deaths from across 2020, it does not differ appreciably from baseline. And that's the key. It does not differ from baseline appreciably, significantly. The only time we see a deviation from baseline is from when they did vaccine in January, February of March 2021. So this is the issue. We are not seeing deviation from baseline across 2020. So I'm trying to argue that there was really no pandemic. There was no pandemic at all. And the deaths that we incurred, as you know, was from the denial of treatment because all beds were COVID. It was from the fact that we had collateral damage from the lockdowns, school closures. It was from the mRNA vaccine itself, the Malone mRNA technology vaccine, Bula Bansal. But most of the deaths, as I have said repeatedly, is how people were treated in the medical system between isolation, sedation, and ventilator and remdesivir. You know this. But what I'm trying to say now is that we have a situation right now where a lot of good information is coming across trying to tell us what is the extent of the disaster that we face with this vaccine, this mRNA vaccine, that what we're really facing is the implications, not from COVID virus anymore, it's done. But we are facing the ramifications and the implications of the vaccine long-term in terms of cancers, in terms of diseases. COVID will have a very long tail. And what I mean by that is way 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're going to be getting deaths from people that are going to accumulate because of the vaccine. And we're talking about cancers, we're talking about all sorts of neurological diseases, cardiovascular illnesses, a host of diseases we don't even understand yet. And now we're beginning to understand all of the issues of the frame shifting and, the issue that with the mRNA, entering into the cytoplasm of the cell and translating into the spike protein, what we are seeing is what we're beginning to understand more clearly is when, remember, in mRNA, traditional regular cellular genetic material, DNA, has these four bases, A, G, T, and C, adenine, guanine, thymine, cytosine. But in the mRNA strand, which is a messenger out of the nucleus into the cytoplasm, where protein synthesis or translation takes place, the thymine is replaced by uracil or uridine, however you want to say it. And the changes to the uracil, which was done between the Malone, Wiseman, Carrico, Bula from Pfizer, Bansal from Moderna, Sahin from BioNTech, was to methylate the uracil group so that you can hide it from the immune system, so that the immune system wouldn't attack that messenger RNA as a foreign protein. Because remember, the immune system has a critical job. And it's kind of one of the reasons why most of us don't die quickly from autoimmune disease routinely. The immune system has a critical job. It has to be trained and educated constantly, especially from infancy, on how it could differentiate self, that means whatever belongs to you, from non-self. Because what is non-self, the immune system must attack and destroy. And that's the issue. And the issue here is they had to make a change to the mRNA molecule, the messenger RNA, the synthetic one made in the dish that they've included in the vaccine, so that the immune system wouldn't see it and destroy it by methylating the uracil on the mRNA strand. It hides it from the immune system. But we don't want to get too much into that issue. But in doing all of that, the methylated uracil, in the cytoplasm, when the spike protein is decoded, well, translated, the mRNA is translated to the spike, somehow or the other, the ribosome, you know, there's this complex in the cytoplasm where all proteins are made on the ribosome. So there's a ribosome connected to the Golgi apparatus, connected to the endoplasmic reticulum. That whole complex that takes the protein that's being finished in the ribosome and packages it and finishes it. And then the protein is used for that cell internally or exported outside for other purposes. Remember, proteins have both a structural or a functional role. So the issue, though, is that somehow or the other, we're beginning to understand with some recent research what could be the reason for all of this disease and hyperinflammation, etc. It may be due to a phenomenon we call frame shifting. Remember, the message on the mRNA molecule is decoded by the ribosome in triplet codons, every three bases. And every three bases, triplet codon, that triplet code codes for a specific amino acid, which lines up and builds either short chain proteins called peptides. You know that. Peptide is a short chain protein, short number of amino acids, or the long, what we call macromolecules, polypeptides, which are more complex proteins. These could be long chain, superfolded, supercoiled upon itself, etc. The spike protein is an example of a complex protein with many different subparts. Anyway, what I'm saying is it may be now we're beginning to understand that when the ribosome reads the triplet codon, the mRNA code, when it sees the uracil, the methylated uracil, it can't understand it, and it confuses the coding, and it becomes garbled and junk, and it codes for what we call genetically missense or nonsense protein. At that point, it codes for something that's nonsense. It makes no sense. So therefore, the spike protein that's being produced is not the typical functional spike protein as it was intended to be. It is misshapen and is not properly functional. And that could be the reason why the immune system is going into a hyperinflammatory drive and attacking the spike protein everywhere and on any cell that it is produced. Also, it could be that, remember, there's a stop codon, a stop triplet codon called, I think the coding, if I remember from my biology, is AUG. I think it's adenine, uracil, guanine. And that tells the ribosome to stop translating that messenger RNA, and the protein is done. And the protein will then continue on through the Golgi and the ER, the endoplasmic reticulum, and is finished. It appears that stop codon is getting garbled up too, because if the ribosome is not reading the message properly, it could be that the entire frame of the triplet codons get shifted, maybe by one to two bases. Therefore, the entire code is wrong. The entire code is no longer. If you understand what I mean, you know it could be AAUG, GGCAAAAAU, GGCUUUUUA. Every tree basis that I just called there is what we call a triplet codon. Those three bases codes for one amino acid that is sitting in the cytoplasm. It gets there from the food you eat, whether the meat or the plants that you eat, they will digest it back into amino acids, the building blocks of proteins. It accumulates in the cells, in the cytoplasm, awaiting when a cell needs to make protein. Those amino acids that have been degraded from the plants or meat gets reassembled again into short peptides or long macromolecule proteins. Whether we need it for muscle, whether it was muscle protein, etc. So I know you understand what I'm trying to say. The point is we have all of these things hitting us right now. And what am I trying to say at the end of it? I'm trying to say we have serious problems because besides that frame shift issue, we're now beginning to understand why your cells, after this vaccine is producing spike 24/7 the rest of your life, is because there's no stop switch. Because the entire code has been shifted and it's gobbled up or made nonsense out of the stop code on AUG. And it's producing nonsense proteins now because it's not understanding the code. We have the issue of reverse transcription of the mRNA from this Malone, Wiseman, Carrico technology back into human DNA. There was a famous, a seminal paper by Alden et al., A-L-D-E-N. You just Google it on the internet. Google Alden and reverse transcription. You could key in the enzyme reverse transcriptase if you want. Integrase, enzyme integrase. Here's the key. Alden showed in the dish, though, in the dish, that messenger RNA could be reverse transcribed back into human liver cell line in the dish. But we're beginning to now get some preliminary evidence that this is not just the dish. We have hardcore human evidence that we have messenger RNA that could be integrated back into your cellular DNA in the nucleus of the cell. Why is that a big deal? Well, that is a big deal. Because remember, first of all, we were told by CDC, FDA, Health Canada, SAGE in England, etc., that very critical points. They said, A, the messenger RNA cannot be reverse transcribed into the DNA. People would ask the questions, top scientists, and they would be smeared and slandered and slapped down. And I could even remember, it was a high-level discussion, and that question was posed to Malone, Robert Malone, and he said, no, that's not important. But that was damn important. He didn't know what he was saying, or he was lying to the Inquirer. He lied because he knew it was reverse transcribed. They must have known. And what has happened here is that now we're beginning to get evidence that the messenger RNA is reverse transcribed into human cells. That has huge implications for us societally, from a humanity point of view. Because we were told it was not reverse transcribed. We were told that when the injection got into the arm, the bolus of the injection remained at the injection site, drained to the local lymph drainage node below the armpit. Some of you know the armpit is called the axilla, and the immune response would take place there. That's why under your arm is often very tender and sore after you take a vaccine and it gets even hard. That's actually the immune response taking place. What we grew to know from the Japanese biodistribution work, etc., brittle, is that the content of the vaccine is not staying at the injection site. The content of the vaccine is draining into the lymph system and the blood circulation and ending up systemically all across the body. So we have lipid nanoparticles, spike protein, spike protein fragments, S1, S2 subunits, mRNA, micro-mRNA, mRNA fragments, all going across the body. Once the lipid nanoparticles taken up into cells systemically, they translate to the spike protein, and you know the history from there and the damage that is done. So we have a problem. We were lied to about the fact that the content of the vaccine dissolves quickly, one-off, right after vaccination, an hour, it comes out in your stool, whatever. That was a lie. We have studies by Patterson et al. Showing that spike protein spike persists as much as 2 years post. We have research by Roeltgen et al. In Cell, the prominent journal Cell, showing at least 60 days post-shot in this turning up in the germline. But this is my problem today. I'm saying, you know, there are two types of cells. We have somatic cells and gametes. Somatic cells are all of your body cells, hair cells, liver cells, heart cells, toe cells, toenail cells, whatever. And then there are the gametes, which is our sex cells. Normal somatic cells go through mitosis, which you know, which is basically where the genetic material is duplicated first. The DNA unwinds, duplicates itself, and then migrates to the poles of the cell. And then in mitosis, you know, the mitotic spindle and all of those things cleaves into two daughter cells. But there's also in the sex cells, the gametes. So like in the cells in the gonads in males, ovaries in women, those go through an additional step called meiosis or meiosis, anyhow you want to pronounce it. And you know that is where there's recombination of the genetic material from mother and father. And when that happens, then mitosis takes place. Bottom line is, whether the somatic cells or the germ cells, if the germ cells are being plagued now with, and we can show it, where there's reintegration, integration of messenger RNA into the germ cells, that could have catastrophic consequences for humanity. I'm not talking about the individual. I am talking about humanity on the whole, the world, society in the future, humanity long term. So, reason why I hammer Malone and Wiseman and Carrico and Bula and Bansal and Sahin and all of these people is because these people never did the proper long-term safety studies to show that these things were not harmful. They did not exclude harms. And that is why all of these harms are turning up today. Had they done the long-term studies, we would have never allowed these vaccines to be put into people's arms. So I hold them responsible. Let me thank Malcolm at the end of this first segment. Remember my Substack, my blog, Alexander COVID News. Go to Alexander COVID News. It is free. Thank you.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to americaoutloud.shop. That's americaoutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
A suppression of truth in a world of darkness, void of any soul, requires that we are rightly informed, properly equipped, and strongly motivated to fight the corruption. AmericaOutloud.news is that place to awaken your heart, soul, and mind to the out loud truth. Now is our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the second segment of the Dr. Paul Alexander Liberty Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Again, brought to you by America Out Loud. And I wanted to dive straight into it. Right now we're dealing with a lot of issues. And The thing about it is that I wanted to talk about President Trump a little bit because, well, first of all, I wanted to say something that I think you're getting from my writing on Substack. You know, I write that daily blog, Substack. You can find it if you Google it. It's Alexander COVID News. Alexander space COVID space news. And I have it available for you for free. There's a $29 yearly fee if you want to pay, but if you don't and you can't, please subscribe for free and get on there and give me your points of view and enter. We have a lot of good debates right now, spirited discussions, because there are no firewalls or anything. I really need support, financial support, and I'll be straight with you by saying that it really helps me. Any support on that, $1, $5, $10, it adds up for me. And you can go to Zelle, that's Zelle, and the email is sr7283@gmail.com. That's sr7283@gmail.com. So I wanted to talk about President Trump today. And you know, there are a lot of very interesting things that are happening right now in America. I think the House was going to vote on that bill to ban TikTok. And I believe the House did pass a bill, some kind of bill. And it's now headed to the Senate. I think this is a good move. It's not that we want to get into censorship or anything, but TikTok, I think all of them, I think Twitter, Facebook, all of them should be banned because they were used as political tools for the Biden administration, the Obama administration, etc. And I think it's no sorry or mea culpas. I think we should ban these things. We should make media open and have no restrictions. But these kinds of massive monolith kind of media platforms, we should get in there and break them up. They can't have that kind of dominance. And I think that's where the regulators in the government have to play a role, because then they could play a role in shifting the debate and favoritism, etc. And I know the Republicans do the same, just like the Democrats. So let's not fool ourselves or delude ourselves. So let's see how that goes. In talking about President Trump, I wanted to raise a question for you now. Right now, we're seeing a lot of problems in the airline industry and a lot of planes landing with problems, tires falling off, parts of planes ripping off in flight. And, you know, the airline industry will try to tell you that based on the number of flights, it's the safest way of travel. But here's the issue. The issue is we knew this was coming because we have air traffic controllers falling down now, falling short, falling sick, a lot of near misses. I was on a flight twice recently, so statistically it's impossible. Both of them happened out of Reagan Airport, and both of them happened when I was going from I left from a part of New York to Reagan. Is Washington, and then from Reagan going on to Florida. And what happened was on both times when we were taxiing down the runway, slow, not too fast, and the second one was pretty fast, all of a sudden the plane came to an immediate stop on the dime. And in the first instance, the pilot actually was bold and brave enough to tell us. He tried to apologize because if we didn't even have on seatbelts, we would have been flung to the front of the plane. It's as though you're moving along in a car and the car applied brakes, but the braking system stopped the car instantly, not slowed it down, just stopped it right there. And that's what happened. And I was actually drifting off. So when it happened and I jumped up, flung off my seatbelt, I thought we hit something. I thought we landed and we hit something. So I didn't even know where we were. And the pilot came over and told us that he got clearance from the tower to take off. And as he was moving along to get to the top of the runway, along comes another plane just landed. So we'd have crashed and died. And he saw it and he stopped the plane we were in. And then he proceeded for us to move on. And I felt that too was problematic because I felt the kind of violent stop that we had, we might have even damaged the braking system in the plane. Anyway, why I'm saying all of this is because, like, in the media right now, they're talking about a lot of air traffic control, near misses, planes, etc., problems with the planes mechanically. But I've been writing a lot about pilots who've been suffering cardiac arrest and strokes in flight, often when they're taxiing to take off or just as they land. And that correlates well with the adrenaline surge because as it, taking off and landing is the most stressful part of a flight. And I'm not a pilot, but I know enough from all of the flying that it is from talking to people, because that's when you're going to negotiate the clouds to get through them and to come back down to the cloud, which is really the most unsafe part of a flight. Once a plane gets up to cruising altitude, a jet, let's say, and everything is kosher, it is virtually impossible to bring it down unless there's an explosion or something like that. And you know the engines could run for 100 million years even once you put fuel in them. So a lot has to do with this COVID vaccine, this mRNA platform. A lot of pilots, the FAA have done a lot of wrong things. They changed. There was a particular metric that really designated electrical conduction across the heart. I think it was 200 milliseconds or something like that. And they changed it to 300. In other words, they made it easier for pilots who had a slower conduction across the heart, for the electrical impulses, etc., to actually be certified fit to fly. So they have dumbed down or worsened the thresholds. And this is because pilots have been failing it. And the reality about it is the mRNA vaccine has been catastrophic on the airline industry. Many pilots retired, many pilots were laid off, and many were fired when they decided no vaccine. So the airlines are really operating right now on half strength. So they're trying to operate a normal flight schedule across the world with half the pilots and that therefore half planes operational. So there's a lot of stress on the system. That's why when I fly right now, so far in the last year or year and a half, I can't tell you when I went on a flight that was on time to go, on time to land, the connections was proper. Everything is chaotic now. And many times your flight just get canceled. You just get bumped. And then they tell you, they put you on another flight, not even where you want to go or how you want to go. So it's really a chaotic situation now. I have written, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I, with Dr. McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Ramin Oskri before he passed, rest in peace. we said, look, especially with the NFL, with the Damar Hamlin and all of these situations where he died on the football field and they brought him back after 12 minutes of CPR and he still, his heart stopped three more times. We are saying do not let pilots into the cockpit. I think one or two or three big jets laden with people, 300-400 people, will fall from the sky before the airline industry and the NTSB and the FAA takes it seriously and stops it. What they need to do is they need to put a moratorium in place and say, look, all pilots who've taken the series of shots cannot go back into the cockpit until we clear them from myocarditis, pericarditis, any kind type of myocardial damage, myocardial lesions. Remember, the problem with myocarditis, vaccine-induced, this COVID mRNA vaccine-induced myocarditis, it is often silent. And that means that it's asymptomatic. You don't know you have scarring of the heart because the rest of the musculature takes over and compensates, etc. And what we know is that that scarred area of the myocardium of the heart muscle, the electrical conduction across that area does not happen. So the heart is not functional as it was. It's not beating normally. But you don't know. And then when you get into a stressful situation, the surge of adrenaline, epinephrine, etc., we call it catecholamines, that floods the bloodstream to deal with this stressful situation. And it's just, we're talking about landing the plane or taking off the plane, or the pilot might have incurred severe turbulence, some mid-flight problem where he had to disengage the autopilot and fly the plane manually. They may have been going through a storm and the pilot, you know, had to go flying not by, you know, like flying by radar and all of these things. Again, I'm not a pilot. I'm not an expert, but I know enough from flying what we mean by the pilot depending on the radar for the information, because the pilot can't see outside the plane. So we have all these issues. And when the catecholamines surge under stress, it puts too much, these are stress hormones, they put too much strain on the already compromised heart and the scarred myocardium. And the heart goes into irregular beating, we call atrial fibrillation. And then it could then suddenly go into cardiac arrest and the heart stops. And that is where, that explains a lot of this phenomena we are seeing, dying at dawn or dying in your sleep. We coin these phrases. We'll be finding a lot of young people and actually middle-aged couples and stuff where one partner would awake in the morning and find the other partner unresponsive, and the person died during the night because their heart stopped. And the other partner just didn't know. So there was no CPR and the person died legitimately and is dead. And why? Because we have this phenomenon where around 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock, just around there, you are beginning to rise. And physiologically, there are a cascade of events that take place in you cellularly, where your heart rate is lifted, your pulse rate is lifted, your body temperature is lifted, etc., because you are beginning to rise from sleep. And as part of that rising from sleep, the system floods the blood with catecholamines to lift the heart rate, to get you going, to wake you up, etc. This phenomenon of dying in your sleep is happening close to when rising, close to the morning, dawn, because it's when people are rising. And when this catecholamine floods the blood, it floods a damaged myocarditis heart and you die, because the myocarditis is often silent until it comes knocking. It's a catastrophic situation. So we are saying pilots must be cleared, and we have tests that you can do. The high sensitivity troponin test, test to see if the heart muscle has been damaged at all in any cardiac event. The D-dimer test looks for blood clots throughout the system, microthrombi due to the vaccine. We have normal chest EKGs. We have the gadolinium enhanced chest MRI with the gadolinium contrast to show. We can see the heart muscle if it is scarred, and we know if you have hard myocarditis, so the pericardial sac around the heart is infected. So we know, we could see the issues. So we have this serious, serious problem with airline flights right now. And you really are. And now we have this drama with the MAX 8 and the MAX 9 planes. Okay? And I believe it's Boeing. These planes were made, I believe, in a competition with the Airbus 320 or 321. Again, I'm not a plane person, but I fly enough. I know about these planes. And this MAX 8, MAX 9 has a lot of technical, mechanical problems. I just posted a story on my Substack where one of the chief engineers said he will not fly in a MAX 8 and a MAX 9. And he warned that the technical difficulties, remember, two of them crashed side by side. That's why, remember, the MAX 8 and 9 were grounded. And then Boeing put out something that we're going to put a patch, a computer patch, to work around the problem. Right? And if I could recall, the problem was that, I don't know if the engines were too powerful for the plane, that the nose of the plane was either the nose was pitching up or pitching down. Something, please, if you know the details and you could correct me, I stand corrected. But I know I'm over the target. It has to do with I believe the plane was pitching up, even while it was flying level, it was pitching up. And the pilot was getting, in those crashes, it was deduced that the pilot was seeing on that scope where you see the gyroscope, I believe you call it, the horizon, the level, that the pilot was getting signals that the plane was rising when it actually was flying level, just because of a little elevation in the nose or something like that. And the pilot then was trying to force the plane down to level it off when it was actually level, and the pilot put the plane into a dive. So, and then Boeing said they're going to work around the patch. And we don't know what the hell, because right now the planes are grounded again. I'm sure you saw in the news, MAX 8, MAX 9 grounded. I am so fearful of flying because these airlines are criminals. You book your ticket and you go on the flight, and all of a sudden you're sitting in the plane, and then you pull the thing and you see you're in a MAX 8 or a MAX 9. And you don't know what the hell is going on. Somebody was on the news recently. He said he got up, he told his stewardess he's getting off the plane. And they told him, well, the door is closed. He said, it's my right to get off the plane. These planes should be grounded. How could they still be in service? Anyway, there's so much I wanted to talk to you about today. And some critical issues, has to do with, there was one very important story to show you the insanity in Canada, where one of the judges, the Supreme Court judge, like one of the Supreme Court justices of the United States, well, this lady judge, she's claiming that she's reviewing a case and she's going to overturn it because she found that the lower court that sent the case up to the Supreme Court used the word woman. And it is deeply offensive. This Supreme Court judge said in Canada, she said the person should have been referred to as a person with a vagina. So can you imagine, this is where we are in this woke insane culture. You must be referred to now in legal briefs as a person with a vagina or a person with a penis. So then what? We will call trannies persons without vaginas, pretending to be women. I mean, I don't understand where we are going now. And here we are led in Canada. Well, I live in America, but Canada is led by a Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who recently got his Liberal government to mandate that all public bathrooms belonging to federal buildings and government must have tampons in the male bathrooms for men. So we have now nicknamed him Prime Minister Justin Tampon Trudeau. Thank you.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the third segment of the Dr. Paul Alexander's Liberty Hour on America Out Loud. You know my talk show goes to podcast the following day. You can find it on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora. Please give a shout out to Malcolm and his team. Remember my Substack, Alexander COVID News. I plead again, if you can give me any financial support, please go to Zelle and my email is sr7283@gmail.com. I provide technical support with Dr. McCullough and Rish to the Wellness Company. Please go to twc.health. It's an innovative company focusing on telehealth services, but providing a range of emergency preparedness kits, contagion control kits, first aid kits, etc., that you could put in your own medicine cabinet. You have a host of antibiotics, prescription antibiotics that they supply, and you can get it with a script that they provide once you call in, etc. TWC.health. Look, I wanted to talk about a bunch of issues. I want to get to President Trump and my view today. First of all, Harvard fired Dr. Martin Kulldorff. You know, Kulldorff was one of the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration. And with Sunicha Gupta and what is this other person? Oh, Dr. J. Bhattacharya. And I know Kulldorff personally. You know, full disclosure, I went to an enclave, a conclave, at Dr. Naomi Wolf's home in New York. Well, I can't give you the address, with Kulldorff, Bhattacharya, Rish, etc. And it was really fun to have. It turned out to be a fun-filled time, a weekend in this nice rustic setting, but we were supposed to have high-level COVID discussions, and we did. Actually, Jeff Tucker was there, Brownstone. We were all friends at that point. Martin Kulldorff, he had his little kids with him, two wonderful little children. And we got to witness him as a parent, as a father, as a human being, as just a loving individual, a really smart, technically sound person. So here's Harvard. They would keep that anti-Semite, Claudine Gay, I believe is her name, G-A-Y, you know, that anti-Semite, that nutcase racist, who you thought they fired. They didn't fire her. She's still on academic strength, but she's not the president anymore. She still could teach her crap courses. Harvard has demonstrated it's a bastion now of academic rot. They're the most inept, incompetent morons. I know so many professors and doctors and scientists from Harvard. They're stupid people. The only thing they have going for them is the name Harvard. It's academic rot, fraud. Don't send Johnny and Susie to Harvard. And they're firing Kulldorff now, today, is because of his stance against the lockdowns, etc. Kulldorff was correct. Let me put it to you again so you understand. Say Dr. Alexander told you this again. We in what? March 2024. Had we done nothing across 4 years, had we done zero, nobody would have noticed. You need to understand what I'm trying to say. The all-cause mortality, the excess mortality data, when we look at it across the world, across countries, we see no excess mortality in 2019, 2020. We only see excess mortality emerging after the first rounds of vaccine, February, March 2021. And every time they give a booster. Across 2020, during the height of COVID, the Wuhan legacy strain, the most virulent strain, we didn't see no marked excess mortality, no significant excess mortality. There was no pandemic. You need to understand what I'm saying. COVID was a fraud. COVID was a lie. COVID was a fraud, fake, non-pandemic. 100% of COVID was a lie. President Trump was lied to 100%. There is nothing and there was nothing about COVID that was or is true. It is done. It was never, ever a pandemic. It was never even an emergency. We knew in March of 2020 that the median age of death was 83 years old, three underlying medical conditions. That was an elderly person, very sick, heart disease, etc., that was going to die absent of COVID. We know in March of 2024, 4 years out, whatever this thing is, this respiratory entity, I wouldn't even call it a pathogen because I don't know what Malone and Bula and Fauci and they cooked up. I don't know what they did. And yes, Malone was involved. Yes, I don't know. We will get to find out that this wasn't even coronavirus. They could have showed us how many electron micro snapshots if they want. I could go and take a picture of coronavirus now. We all walking around with coronavirus in us. Coronavirus accounts for all of our common colds. There are 4 coronaviruses that circulate seasonally in the world. They were pandemics 200-300 years ago, or they were affairs 200-300 years ago, and they settled down into stable endemic seasonal flu, common colds that you experience. Anytime you get a common cold, it's a coronavirus you have. And this one is one, again. This, I don't know how to say it, it was a lie. Firing cooled off today demonstrated how far Harvard has fallen, because cooled off is correct. Had we done nothing, had we not locked down, had we closed no schools, zero schools, no businesses, had we done no shelter in place, we'd have lost almost no one. It is the COVID policies. It is the actions that we took. No doubt, there were a few people who fell to whatever this thing was. Remember, again, I'm not telling you this is a coronavirus. Something was released from some lab or labs from around the world, in Canada, in Ukraine, in the United States. I believe the United States led this research. I believe this was a battlefield weapon. Whatever it was they were doing was a bioweapon, that something went wrong and it got loose. I believe it was circulating since 2015, but I believe it was not deadly. So whatever they were trying to experiment and figure out, remember, gain of function research is to give pathogen 2 qualities: infectiousness increase and lethality increase. I believe they failed on the lethality part. Thank God for that, because they're so stupid and buffoons in those labs to begin with. But I believe the infectiousness they crafted, and that's what got loose. But I'm beginning to believe and agree with JJ Kui: infectious clones, multiple release sites. There is no way that an mRNA respiratory virus could show up across the world in multiple locations, the same exact respiratory virus, using the same PCR process, that all of them testing positive. There is no way. It cannot happen. mRNA viruses are too unstable. They're not replication competent. There is no fidelity. Let's use the term fidelity in the replication. There is no standardness. It cannot happen. If I were to take one virus part, well, it's a viron, V-I-R-I-O-N, it's singular. If I were to take one viron and put it in a dish, proper temperature, proper culture medium, and leave it alone, if I came back in half a day, there will be hundreds of thousands of copies, and almost all of them would be a mutated variant from the initial one, because they do not have a stable copying mechanism. We all know that. That's why there's never been a vaccine for common cold or flu. We cannot make it. The genetic material spontaneously mutates. You don't even need to put it under pressure. It will spontaneously mutate in the dish. So we know that there is no way, when we were told in March 2020 that this coronavirus was showing up all over the world. That was impossible. Can't happen. It just cannot happen. So there was the lie right there, the lie of asymptomatic transmission. That was another 100% bold-faced lie. Could not happen. COVID was a fraud lie. And had we done nothing, we would have killed almost no one. Again, we lost some people due to whatever it was circulating. It took some of our elderly. We call low-hanging fruit. I'm not being insultive. I'm just being from an epidemiological point of view. These were elderly people. Their immune systems are sluggish and slack. It is compromised. We call it immunosenescence, which means the immune system is senescent. It is a consequence of aging. Your immune system will fall. That is why we don't vaccinate elderly people like that. That is why the flu vaccine that you get every year is a complete garbage, fast fraud. The flu vaccine has never worked, ever. You cannot make a flu vaccine based on last year's flu. That we go to China and we take the 4 predominant strains. That's what we do. And we build in the chicken and egg model, and we build billions of vaccines and give all of the seniors, because we have all of them petrified every year, and it's a lie. No flu vaccine works. It cannot. The flu would mutate thousands of times between last February, when they take a look to find the four strains and put it in the vaccine, to the next year. So it cannot ever work. It's a lie. And they knew it. The COVID vaccine could have never worked, the mRNA platform. And this is why I hammer and I pong Malone and I pong Bula and I devastate Carrico and I pong Sahin and I pong Wiseman. You know why? Because these people are malfeasant beasts. They knew what they did with the mRNA technology. Malone runs around as some kind of, he gives these speeches as though he's an intellectual giant. Malone is a con artist, fraud. If you listen to him, he cannot even speak when you watch him. He has to read from his phone or from the screen. He's not a smart guy. I mean, he's a con fraud. All of them, Wiseman, Carrico, Sahin, Bula from Pfizer, Bansal from Moderna. They knew that the mRNA technology was going to reverse transcribe the messenger RNA back into the DNA. And that could alter the humanity for the rest of time. Once that gets into our somatic and gamete cells, our germ cells, we're in trouble. They knew that the vaccine would not stay at the injection site. They lied. They knew that it would not dissolve in a one-off quickly. They knew that the mRNA would not decode and translate to spike in a one-off. They knew it had no more off switch, no more genetic. The AUG triplet codon was gone. They knew it was coding missense and nonsense protein that was misfolded and convoluted and was causing the inflammatory attacks. They knew all of this, Malone and they knew. I challenged Malone. Whoever is listening to this, tell him, Dr. Alexander, call your name many times again. He's challenging you to a conversation and a debate. Malone could bring 25 scientists with him. I will walk alone. And he could bring all the documents he wants. But he will never. Because they know how stupid they are. They're just con artists, money whores. That's all they are. Giving shows and leeching on people. Martin Kulloff should have never been fired. He could have. And let me get straight to President Trump, because I don't want to get sidetracked. I want you to listen to me. I work for the Trump administration. I was asked to join the Trump administration, and I did. I worked at the HHS. I joined there in April, end of April, beginning of May, 2020. Dr. Scott Atlas joined in August, mid-August 2020, about 4 months after me. But he was in the Eisenhower building, off the White House, side of the White House. That's where I had meetings with him. I was in HHS across from the Capitol. We were banging away at Fauci and Burks and the Deep State and the NIH and the FDA from on the inside and CDC. I was savaging them. They hated me. Did you read Dr. Burks's book? She wrote about me. She said how much she despised Dr. Paul Alexander. Well, I'm telling it to you in words. I despise Deborah Burks, a.k.a. the Scarf Lady, because she was inept, she was incompetent, and she was working against President Trump. She wrote in the book that we would always slow walk information. We would hide information. We would not give the White House what they asked us. That lady wrote what tantamounts to treason. I don't understand yet, and I hope when Trump comes back into power, she's one person put under oath, because we need to try her for treason. She subverted a sitting president. That is treason. President Trump lost the election. You may not want to listen to what I'm saying, and you need to go with me here. I was on the inside. I cannot tell you more about the polls. I cannot tell you things because President Trump deserves executive privilege. Every president has a modicum of confidentiality, and he have that with me. They have that with me. But President Trump lost the election. He didn't lose by that much, but he lost. He could not win. We knew in January 2020 he was unstoppable. He was on pace for about 400 electoral votes. Yes, he was. And about 42 states. We saw the polls. Nobody, no Democrat, no Republican could have beaten him. Nobody could have primed him. But then along came COVID, and he didn't know how they blindsided him. COVID was a PCR false positive, overcycled fraud of a fake non-pandemic. COVID was a PCR manufactured pandemic out of fear based on the lie of asymptomatic transmission. It was never a pandemic, but President Trump didn't know that. When Birx and Fauci went into the Oval on a day-to-day basis and showed him those graphs, they knew they were lying to him because the PCR process was 95% false positive. 95 of every 100 people that they took out of society and when we locked down, 95% of the society that was locked down were never positive for COVID. President Trump was lied to. He was misled. I was there. I saw what took place. He trusted them. When they were bringing the vaccine, he kept saying, make sure it's safe and effective. Don't bring no shit to me. That's how he speaks. Don't bring this shit to me if it's not safe and effective. And in those meetings, they say, yes, Mr. President, safe and effective. We're bringing it. You could bring that for me in months. Yes, Mr. President, safe and effective. Say, don't bring it if it's not safe and effective. But Trump didn't know they were snowing him and they were rolling him and hosing him. He was out of his depth. The vaccine was never, you could never bring something that takes 15 years and bring it for me in 4 months and tell me it's safe. Not one long-term safety study, toxicology study, not one. No proper pharmacokinetic study, no proper pharmacodynamic study, no teratogen study. None were done. Nothing. The FDA needs to be stripped and burned down, taken down to the studs. Trump needs to burn it to the floor. Put the FDA on Alcatraz, the new FDA. Look, let me get close to the end here. I'm trying to tell you something here. President Trump lost the election. He lost the election because of the lockdowns, the school closures. It hurt him. It hurt his voters and his people. Many Democrats too, they were hurt. And I don't think he understood. And today I am pleading with him. I am part of people behind the scenes. We're working on language for President Trump to come to the podium now and stand up against the lockdowns and the vaccines and say that it was harmful, that he was sorry, and that he will work to make Americans whole again. President Trump could go wrong as the greatest that ever lived. Thank you.